Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 28 minutes to 12, and a very warm welcome back to our guest, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Johan Sahab of Durban. Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
I am very well, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. How are you this morning, Maulana?
Ji, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah.
You, the last we spoke was almost 2 months ago. And alhamdulillah, it's good to have you back on the program.
Indeed, jazakumullah khair. Nice to hear your voice again.
Alhamdulillah. And how was the holidays?
Well, I always say it was short. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, Maulana, very alhamdulillah. Resourceful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've been very kind to us. We've been local, but alhamdulillah, very good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr. Maulana, let us just recap, inshallah, what we had discussed previously with regards to the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we continue.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our listeners of Radio Islam, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmuduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala Rasulil Kareem amma ba'd. Prior to our closure at the end of last year, we spoke abundantly about different aspects of the Sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we concluded on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak manner of dressing. Before that, we spoke very extensively about the eating conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, inshallah, we will begin an entire new chapter of the Shama'il and the Mubarak Tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is insofar as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's applying itar is concerned, and itar refers to fragrance or it refers to perfume. I think before we start the actual topic itself, it may be befitting for us just to rectify our niyat and our intention that this discussion that we have on the Mubarak Tariqah, the Mubarak Shama'il, the Mubarak way, and the mannerism and the traits and conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is done only and purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and over and above that, to gain the love of Allah and to gain the love of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also an endeavor to try and put into practice the Mubarak Sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for our sisters listening at home, this chapter, insofar as the itar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, we're going to apply more for our brothers, more for our men. With regards to our sisters, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a particular code, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given a very, very stern warning with regards to that. So we will start off with that, and then we will go into the other aspects of the itar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman who passes by a group of men after applying itar or perfume is like a woman of the street, in other words, a prostitute. In other words, she has now become one that is inviting strange men to unlawfully derive some form of pleasure from her, and hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has used such strong terms, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has branded such a woman. So with them, it will be according to Jam'ul Wasail, it is permissible for a woman to apply itar within the confines of her home, and obviously when she leaves the house, there should not be any fragrance that emanates from her body, and if there is such fragrance, then that is a very stern warning of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not all doom and gloom for our sisters, as we will find that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak Tariqah, we will find that even the Azwajul Mutahharat, they would apply the itar for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can also embark on those beautiful learnings and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when you look at the very general sense of the ether, and or rather people generally call it atkar, or the perfumes, then you find there is a riwayat and a narration of Hazrat Malih ibn Abdullah rahmatullah alayh. He narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, five things are from amongst the traits and the habits of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Number one, bashfulness, and that is haya, modesty, that the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam had possessed. Perseverance, we found that the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam would persevere, number one, in fulfilling the commandments of Allah. Number two, in inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not spare any moment, but they continued persevering for the sake and the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, cupping. There was also a trait and an habit of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And then we find applying perfume or applying itar, that also remained a trait of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And in this hadith, the last is that of the using of the miswak by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, that we discussed in details with regards to the usage of the miswak being a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as well as a sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Now if we look at it in a different perspective, who were the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam? They were the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that these five traits were the traits of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, in anticipation that if we can bring these five habits, these five traits and mannerisms and conduct of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam in our lives, we will have the hope that inshallah we will also become chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to recap that, number one is bashfulness, number two is perseverance on the itaat, the obedience of Allah, and also inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that of cupping, applying perfume, and usage of the miswak. The next aspect is that whatever the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam had done, obviously they were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have guided them towards doing things that Allah Rabbul Izzat himself had loved. So hence, to do the work, or to do whatever the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam had done, obviously then we would also become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third aspect is this, that whatever the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam had done and undertaken, there would be spiritual benefit in it, and hence our spirituality and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enhanced, and hence we will find that in the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, there was only goodness upon goodness, so that kind of good will also then rub off upon us inshaAllah. The next aspect that we discussed is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never refused itar. That is, if somebody had offered Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any itar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not refused this. I think at this particular time, there needs to be some caution with regards to these types of ahadith, that today, because we have an abundance of synthetic itar, because we have people that have allergies, people that suffer headaches, sinusitis, etc., because of the synthetic factors in these ether, obviously then the concession for them will be different. But otherwise, here what we are speaking about is the actual ether itself in its original form, in which there is nothing synthetic that is being used. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never refuse itar. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three things should not be refused. One is a pillow, number two is milk, and number three, in the hadith the word comes oil, which refers to fragrant oil, and that will refer to itar. So we discussed this hadith on two occasions previously. One was in the chapter of the milk, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's drinking milk. And we also discussed this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclining upon a pillow. And here is the third time we discussed this. This is the ether, that these three are in such commodities that are very minute, they are very petty. The person that offers you a little bit of ether is not going to get any poorer than that person. Maybe the person that offers you milk, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in actual fact, made dua of barakah. Somebody that offers you the usage of a pillow, that person is not going to go through any inconvenience by offering us to use the pillow. So that is why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not refuse that. Then we find Sayyidina Abu Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrate that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when somebody offers you Rayhan perfume, do not refuse it as it comes from Jannah. Now on this, Mullah Liqari Rahmatullah Ali has written that there is no difficulty that is experienced in accepting a gift of ether, hence it should not be refused. The giver is not put through any inconvenience, and neither the person that takes it is going to be inconvenienced. Then we find Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that never did I smell musk, which is actually called musk, or umber, or any other fragrance that was sweeter than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's natural fragrance. So here Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu looks at this entire chapter in a different way. Number one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. The natural fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was more perfumed, was more fragrant than the umber and the musk of this world. So can one imagine how purified and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak body was created by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the natural fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam far outshone that of the musk and the umber of this world. Now, the ulama have written that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the essence of fragrance. He himself was an essence of fragrance. He himself, even if he didn't use anything, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this fragrance that emanated from his body, that emitted from his body. But over and above that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would apply perfume regularly. And this shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left a very important lesson for the ummah, that despite my natural fragrance, I will still utilize the ether. So you and I, obviously then, to a greater extent, should try to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was surrounded by angels that visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from time to time. From time to time, it was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that would come down with an ayah or two or a surah of the Quran Kareem. So hence, at all times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was absolutely cautious about the fragrance around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But notwithstanding that fact, you and I should also understand and realize that we also want the malaika to be around us. So for us to use ether then becomes even a more important issue in our lives. In Tariq al-Kabir was written by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. He has quoted Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu as saying that people would know if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had walked anywhere due to the sweet fragrance that emitted from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was quite normal and natural for Sahaba, so to say, to have smelt the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any particular place. Then we find that Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi reinforces that the people would know when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was arriving due to the fragrance that preceded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we find that the fragrance, one was the fragrance remained behind after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left. And Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, he reinforces this by saying that the fragrance also preceded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nawawi rahimahumullah has written that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of sweet fragrance. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, notwithstanding the fact that he himself was an embodiment of sweet fragrance, he used ether regularly. And number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used it excessively, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly visited by the malaika. Then we have the factor that wahi would come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from here, we would understand that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used ether despite the natural fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak body. Now, Sayyidina Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, we know that she was the mother of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But some scholars of hadith have also narrated that she was the foster aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she narrates that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had visited her, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the afternoon nap, the qailullah, which we spoke about also, at her home. So while sleeping, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began perspiring. Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha says that she took a small bottle and she began collecting the mubarak perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had awakened suddenly, and he asked her what was she doing. So she informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she was collecting his mubarak perspiration, his fragrance, as there is no fragrance sweeter than it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved of her action. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop her from doing so. And in this way, Sayyidina Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha had collected the perspiration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adding on this, her son, Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, adds another dimension completely differently. And he says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perspire, the beads of perspiration upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak forehead used to shine like pearls. Can one imagine the nur of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the perspiration that would begin to shine, that came the perspiration on top of the skin and the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu requested the people who would apply perfume to his body after his demise, after the demise thereof, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to also apply some of the Mubarak perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which his mother Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha had collected. So this was one of the wasiyat, this was one of the bequests of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when I leave this world, then some of this ether, some of this perfumed, fragrant perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be also applied onto me, so that when I go into my qabr, I would have the traces of the Mubarak perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in this discussion also, the muhaddithin have also discussed, and I think we'll close on the discussion of this nature, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of purity in every aspect, in every respect. Whatever emanated, whatever had come out of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in whatever nature, whatever form it may have been, all of it was absolutely pure and all of it was absolutely pak. So what we will understand from this is that when we hear that a sahabi had drunk the blood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot at all have any reservations with regards to that, because even the blood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pure, and hence everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whatever waste matter had come out of the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 100% pure. Now, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates that fragrance unlike one that was ever smelled before emerged from the portion of the house where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given ghusl. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu here is referring to the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam after he had left this world. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak body was at a particular place, and he says from there that fragrance that had emitted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's body emerged from the portion of the house where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given ghusl. Adding on to this, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has written that then this fragrance spread throughout the city of Medina Munawwara, which forced Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma to say the following words: Tibta Hayya wa Tibta Mayyita, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were fragrant whilst you were alive, and after you left this world also that fragrance remained. In other words, you are an embodiment of fragrance. So here we find that whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was an embodiment of fragrance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body had emitted this beautiful smell, this very sweet smell. But over and above that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would utilize itar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fragrance himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded the ummah to do so. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not refuse anyone that offered him any itar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also stated that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, all of them had these noble traits, and amongst the noble traits, one was to use itar. So we will conclude with this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Rabbul Izzat gives us all the ability and the tawfiq to practice upon each and every sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the ability and the tawfiq to make our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model in life in every aspect, from the internal aspect, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the external habits and traits of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us amongst those blessed souls on the day of Qiyamah that will be granted the shafa'at and the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us all worthy of drinking from the holy kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.